exclusive W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. All the rain that's fallen on the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast has to go somewhere. And Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen says it may be in your neighborhood.
River flood warnings will stay in effect right through the day today across New Jersey, New York State, Connecticut, and then on up into New England, because these rivers are going to take a long time to crest.
Lost in the flurry over the defense secretary's lack of transparency over his prostate cancer is his prognosis. White House correspondent Weijia Jiang.
Doctors say since they caught Austin's cancer early, he has an excellent chance of making a full recovery.
It's debate and town hall night for three top GOP presidential contenders in Iowa. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says the first primary state is looking more competitive.
While DeSantis and Haley look to be vying for second in Iowa, a new poll shows Haley has cut former President Donald Trump's lead in New Hampshire down to just single digits.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Southwest Wisconsin appears to have the most snow after the big storm that shut much of southern Wisconsin down yesterday. The National Weather Service says as of a few hours ago, Benton and Lafayette County had 10 inches of snow, Verona and Red Granite had 8 inches, Plymouth and Waupaca had 7. The Wisconsin legislature will have new political boundaries this year after December's Supreme Court ruling. Governor Evers says it's a big step toward a more fair and functional legislature.
We are a purple state. The legislature does not reflect that. We have to have competitive races. Our present legislature does not respond to that.
That's Evers speaking with Pat Kreitlow on Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The snowstorm did not bring the anticipated 10 to 12 inches of snow, with Milwaukee receiving only an inch and a half at Mitchell Airport and similar amounts in Racine and Kenosha. The Wow counties, particularly Sussex, received over 6 inches of snow, while most other Waukesha County communities got around 4. The wet, heavy snow led to power outages and slick roads, and forecasters are predicting another chance of snow Friday. It's now Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha where drug users can find a vending machine that could save their lives. In the past month, the units have been set up across the area, offering free Narcan and fentanyl test strips. Milwaukee machines are in 11 locations. The Kenosha Hope Council has one. There's also a Narcan vending machine now at the Racine Transit Center. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wisconsin travels to Ohio State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's basketball, the number 15th ranked Badgers take on the Buckeyes tonight in Columbus. Number 11th ranked Marquette is at home tonight. They're going to host the Butler Bulldogs. NFL, the Packers at practice preparing for Dallas. Jordan Love with 2 touchdowns against Chicago threw a rocket to receiver Dontavian Wicks right in the belly at the goal line. I asked him, did he know that Love had a fastball?
Yeah, he got it. I guess he seen it open fast. All I just seen was his arm and the ball was on me, so you know he put it there. Had my stomach hurting a little bit, you know, but you know he made a play, you know, and that's our job to make plays for him.
And for the second year in a row, Mike McCarthy will face his old team. The Cowboys head coach said this time no more questions about his days in Green Bay.
Oh shoot, yeah, the drama of it, I'm sure you guys will love. I will not participate this year. It's playoff time. It doesn't matter who we play, to be honest with you.
That's Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mm-hmm. Mostly cloudy today with a little bit of light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high 33 with wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, light snow likely. We could get an inch or so of accumulation by the time it ends late tonight. Our low 26 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 32 with some rain and measurable snow returning by Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, philosopher you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. I think we made it through the worst of it so far. So,
well, you know, man, I was waiting for, you know, the glacier to come down, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think we avoided the really severe stuff. So
yeah, man. I guess there's some coming. Friday. I guess we're supposed to get projections, and hopefully it'll wind up like this one. But I want to introduce to some and present to others. One of my favorite people in the world, Julie De La Terry, and she is the proprietor of Singing Trees Farms. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, my friend. I'm glad to be back on with you.
Yeah, it's been a while, and for people who don't know what Singing Trees Farms farm is, it's a collective, but tell us a little bit about Singing Tree Farms and where you're located.
Okay, so I'm located southwest of La Crosse, near Lafarge, Viola, Viroqua, in Wisconsin here. And it's a feminist-inspired polyculture where I grow a lot of food for the wild beings and a little bit of food for people. But it's really good food because it's organic and it's grown on soil that's alive. And now this year we've got our own bird seed, so we're actually feeding the birds.
You said wild beings. You mean like animals?
Yeah, wild beings. Yes. Things that are not human.
I know. That's what I. So you grow special food for them. Why?
Special food for the birds. Special food for the pollinators in my fields.
You know, I was talking to several weeks ago, people don't really think about the pollinators. And we've been reading for some time about the lack of pollinators. And we really don't comprehend the impact of that. Tell us about the impact of the lack of pollinators.
The impact is that if a flower doesn't self-pollinate, because some flowers do, like the pollen moves in the wind or it drops off the part of the plant and into the flower using gravity. If it's an insect that needs to pollinate that plant, and most of the food we eat is like that, that means we'd have to go out into the field and pollinate all these flowers by ourselves, or we're going to starve to death. So the U.S. government's great answer to that is they've got the their researchers designing and building little tiny artificial mechanical bees. Doesn't that sound really smart?
Really?
Yep, that's what they're doing.
So one thing about our government, we can be creative when we need to be, but instead of creating these mechanical bees, wouldn't it be better to do all that we can to make sure that the bees that have been, put here by the Creator are able to continue with their lives?
Well, that would mean you'd have to have a worldview that includes all living things and not just
human beings.
The people that want to dominate the world, extract its resources, and control everything. And so we would have to get rid of our legislatures and all of our people that are behind all of these laws that don't honor these things and replace it with sensible things. And guess what? There is a movement out there. It was on CBS News a couple days ago in the morning. It's called the Rights of Nature Movement, of which I am part. I've been doing it for 10 years now.
So before we go any further, people mm-hmm. who don't know Julie Delaterre is, let's talk a little bit about your background. It's fascinating.
Okay. What would you like to know?
We wanted to, how did you get into farming? You've done a multitude of things, but let's talk how you wound up with Singing Tree Farms.
Oh, okay. Well, I came from a background. My mother's family were all dairy farmers, but then when they started messing around with the price of milk, they put her whole family out of business. Her family lost all of their farms. The farm she grew up on got swallowed up by a huge pork CAFO. And my mother and grandmother and grandfather were sprayed by pork shit when they would aerial apply it to the field. So the entire farming background of my mother was destroyed by the corporate state. And how they did that is they favored large agricultural operations over small operations. And so I grew up with a farming background. I always wanted to be a farmer, but I went on to becoming a landscaper for almost 20 years, working on the land that way. And then had an opportunity to get a few acres and partnered up with a third generation farmer who knows how to keep equipment running. And we used small tractors and I was able to increase my acreage. Now get this, I only produce food on about 15 acres and I make a good living on it. So there you go. When you have a small farm and you manage it right and you find a market, you can make a good living on a small number of acres. You know, they're always saying, oh, you got to get big. You got to get big if you're going to make any money. That's a lie. The only reason these great big farms exist is because they get subsidized by the federal government. They get paid to grow corn. They get paid to grow soybeans. The taxpayers pay for their manure pits. They would never even survive with all of our taxpayer money dumping into them. But then what do they do for little farmers? They run them out of business. So I got into farming. Then after I went to school and ended up getting my master's degree in environmental science. So I brought from the Gaylord Nelson Institute. So I brought that information in with my farming enterprise. And whenever I can, I'll teach people about what it means to have sustainable, life-affirming, regenerative agriculture. What does that mean? And without it, we are not healthy. So what the government should be doing, it should be supporting all the small regenerative farms, particularly those around urban areas, and hooking those farms up with the people in the urban areas, closing the loop, getting the food closer to home, and everybody will be a lot happier and a lot healthier. And people in urban areas can go out, they can learn these skills, they can start growing that food in their own backyard so they don't have to starve. Because they can, you better believe it, they can cut your supply chain. We all found that out during COVID. They can cut your supply chain, and you're sitting there going, hey, what? How am I supposed to do what I got to do here?
So, Julie, right now, you're being heard basically all over the state of Wisconsin. We reach probably all sectors of the state. And so many people like yourself who are in small farms and who have found a tough go of it, how are you able to survive when many people like you across the state have not been able to?
First of all, my partner also has his conventional corn and soybean operation. So he can pay the real basic bills. we can't even switch over to just this yet. But we did make a pretty good living this year, but it is grueling because we do the local farmers market in Viroqua, and the only reason we do that is the state won't allow me to put my value-added excellent products in the stores without dancing through all their regulations, which are huge. We'd have to have a whole show about how hard that they make it for small operators to actually get into stores and get this stuff into the hands of the people that want it. So I'm like, I didn't want to have to deal with all of their petty bullshit. Even things like, oh, you got to test your well water. I said, in order to get this license, and I'm like, you have the people in cities test their well water? And this guy, he goes, no. And I'm like, are you aware that all the cities have water that's way more compromised than my well water? I mean, it's really crazy. It's like they don't, well, obviously, they don't want us to compete with the big food companies.
So let me, go ahead.
The corporations own the legislators, okay? So they're going to do their bidding, not mine. We don't live in a democracy.
Hey, Julie, you know what's so dangerous? You sound like me.
Yeah.
you sound like me. We're singing out of the same hymnal. And so I keep trying to get people. So what are your neighbors in different rural parts of the nation, of the state? Have you guys ever thought about trying to come together collectively to address these issues?
Well, from the farmer's perspective, they're just barely getting their work done. So my advice when I get in the groups of people and talk about such things is the people in the area that need these supplies, these provisions, should get together and approach the farmer and tell the farmer what they need. And once the farmer has a market, they'll grow it. But the people need to assemble that market and go to the farmer. That's the answer. The farmer's already played out. They've got too much to do because besides the economics and the infrastructure, we also have to deal with climate change. And last summer with the drought, that just about killed me. It was so much work dealing with the drought. So it's up to the consumer to go to the producer.
So when you say the government and the legislature, which is what I try to talk about a lot on this show, the people who are causing the real pain to rural farmers, you tell again, let us know where that's coming from and why it's so important that people like yourself who are suffering this pain, who's causing that pain?
Well, there's several layers of oppression here. One is just the state regulations are designed and enforced to favor large operations like my me. Okay, so there's a CAFO outside of Lafarge, a combined animal feedlot operation of several thousand cattle up on top of the ridge in a very delicate ecosystem. Our soils here are thin. We're on karst, which is sandstone with holes in it. So if there's pollution, it'll go straight down into the aquifer. This farm had two or three manure releases that killed the trout in the nearby streams, and they got a little slap on the wrist. And how did the state reward them for not having a good operation? They gave them a permit to build a 3.5 million gallon manure pit right above Lafarge, right at the top of the watershed. It equals filling 34 football fields full of manure.
So Julie, hang on. 844-967-2789. My guest is my good friend, Julie De La Terry of St.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, CarMex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
Can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. On the line is my good friend Julie De La Torre of Singing Trees Farms. And you know, Julie, you are a battler, and you just keep the thing I love so much about you is you just keep on fighting, you know, for this to be right. And so you, again, people like you around the state, have you been able to mobilize them? Because, you know, when it's just, you know, one Julie and one Earl, we don't get too far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I've been thinking about that ever since I was in my 20s. And then about 15 years ago, I got introduced to the idea of the rights of nature. That came out of the United Nations, a whole bunch of indigenous countries from all over the world. They passed a resolution about the rights of all living things and the rights of indigenous people. So I started looking into that, and it's a movement. I've been involved with it for quite a while. It started in 2015 here in Wisconsin. I was part of the Ho-Chunk Nation passing a resolution to get rights of nature in their constitution. They're still working on that. Then the Menominee tribe, then the Winona LaDuke over there in Minnesota, she's working on the rights of wild rice. And then there's places all over the world that are doing this. And there was a blurb on CBS Morning News a couple of days ago about a woman from the United States going to Panama. And now the country of Panama has passed rights of nature, and they stopped the gold mine down there. What was it, a $10 billion gold mine? Or not gold mine, sorry, copper mine.
Right.
So they're stopping a copper mine using this law. So the reason that I gravitated in this direction, because I wanted to protect the entire ecosystem, because without functioning ecosystems, we're all doomed. And the problem with the corporate state is their lawyers take our laws, which some of them actually attempt to protect these things that we hold so dear, and their lawyers, and they take it apart. And then we have rulings like corporate personhood and Dillon's rule and the commerce rule and all these things that get taken into court and take our laws apart and turn them around and say, oh, you can't protect your waterway because this corporation is going to lose money if you say they can't operate. So the corporation is more important than you, and you can just take the background and they get their profits. In other words, these rulings say that people are not important either. I'm not saying I'm just advocating for the rights of nature. We are nature. People are nature. So I'm basically advocating for the rights of all living things, including people.
You know, Julie, it's why I love having you on so much. And it's been a while, but I got to stay on top of it and make sure we keep you near us. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget this. Second, Julie, you are a rock star. Thank you.
No question.
Everything that you do for all of us. I do want it to be somewhat known, though, because the Republican Party has kind of deemed themselves as the party that hates regulation. And I know, as an example, I wish that there was a difference in the language that we use versus a CAFO or a corporate farm, which Republicans have no problem with giving them no regulations, versus a mom and pop type organization or a small farm like yourself, that there's a distinction between the two, because I'm sure it's both sides because of Citizens United, and they have to do whatever they can to get elected. I get that part, but I just want it to be known that when we talk about regulation on the smaller mom and pop farmer, or mom and mom, or pop and pop farmer, we're talking about the Republican Party as well, who is actually in the majority there in the state of Wisconsin. I know, being from Eau Claire area, Durand, Wisconsin, that, you know, the Republicans were talking about less government and government closer to the people, but they sure had a way of trying to get those CAFOs back in the capital in Madison to get every little thing that they actually wanted. So I just wonder if you could riff on that and let the people know that it's both parties, or it's one or the other, because this is a way that Republicans try to win over the smaller mom and pop farmer and the
Hey Tom, we got you, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call, Julie.
Hey there. Yeah, he is saying what I'm saying, and it's hard to wrap your head around why this system would be like this, but money talks, and if you have a corporation that gives you a lot of money and you get elected, obviously you're going to listen to them, and you're going to get legislation passed through, and a lot of times the corporations use the
legislation,
LSA,
yes.
Right? Yeah, they write their own legislation, and then they just give it to the legislator, and then they get it passed, and the people don't write it, and actually nobody writes it. The industry writes it. So, like, I wish I could write some legislation about small farming, just go up to the Capitol and have it get passed, but they wouldn't even give me 1 second. They wouldn't even let me even through the door. So what he's talking about there is like is like what I'm seeing out here by Viola. I used to be surrounded by small dairy farms. And then a couple of them got a little bit bigger and everybody else went out of business. And now what happens is we've got these operators that come around and they rent all the vacant land from all these abandoned dairy farmers, and they grow commodity crops. So we have big confined animal feedlot operations. And then we have the rentier economy, where all this leftover land is rented and then farmed with these huge pieces of equipment, and chemicals are dumped all over. And so now that's all we have out here. It's looking like a burned out landscape. And that is the dream of all of the corporate agribusiness, which is vertically integrated. So it's integrated from renting the land all the way up to the top, where it gets turned into cereal. I don't know if everybody knows what vertically integrated is, but they own all the layers in the process all the way to the final product getting in the hands of the consumer, which means none of us are in the middle of any of that. That's their thing. So what's going to happen is us rural people will be sitting out here on our little tiny pieces of land, and everything else is going to be corporate.
So,
and
Julie,
that's not my idea of America.
So, Julie, hang on. You speak very well on behalf of rural Wisconsin and rural America, and you're there. 844-967-2789. My guest is Julie Delaterry, and she represents Singing Trees Collective.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are introducing a proposed amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution. It would limit state government diversity initiatives. GOP lawmakers say diversity efforts amount to reverse discrimination. Democrats say Republicans are trying to stoke culture wars. Wisconsin is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with wildlife. Experts fear things will get worse as more rural areas get developed.
Roads, fences, development, things like that are all types of fragmentation that decrease connectivity for wildlife to be able to move across the landscapes.
Jeremy Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. The federal government is rolling out a pilot program. States can apply for grants to build safe wildlife crossings. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The snowstorm fell short in some areas, with Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha receiving only about an inch and a half. Meanwhile, the Wow counties accumulated over 6 inches of snow in some areas, and most other Waukesha County communities got about 4 inches. Forecasters are anticipating another chance of snow for Friday. A new towering medical complex is coming to Tosa. Fratert Hospital has announced plans for a new 9-story patient tower near its main entrance at 92nd Street in Doane. The tower will feature a bridge connecting to the parking structure at the existing location. Construction is expected to commence in the summer with an expected opening in 2027. Approval from the City of Wauwatosa is pending. Design plans will be reviewed at an upcoming committee meeting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wisconsin travels to Ohio State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's basketball, the number 15th ranked Badgers take on the Buckeyes tonight in Columbus. Number 11th ranked Marquette is at home tonight. They're going to host the Butler Bulldogs. NFL, the Packers at practice preparing for Dallas. Jordan Love with 2 touchdowns against Chicago threw a rocket to receiver Dontavian Wicks right in the belly at the goal line. I asked him, did he know that Love had a fastball?
Yeah, he got it. I guess he seen it open fast. All I just seen was his arm. And the ball was on me, so, you know, he put it there. Had my stomach hurting a little bit, you know. But, you know, he made it play, you know, and that's our job to make plays for him.
And for the second year in a row, Mike McCarthy will face his old team. The Cowboys head coach said this time, no more questions about his days in Green Bay.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, the drama of it, I'm sure you guys will love. I will not participate this year. It's playoff time. It doesn't matter who we play, to be honest with you.
That's Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy today with a little bit of light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high 33 with wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, light snow likely. We could get an inch or so of accumulation by the time it ends late tonight. Our low 26 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 32 with some rain and measurable snow returning by Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On
at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guess is none other than Julie Delateri. She is with Singing Tree Farm Collective. Julie, so we got a couple other things that I really want to get to, but I want to talk about, you are an organic farmer. And mm-hmm. and so when I go into the stores, you know, in the urban areas, I look at the vegetables and the fruit, and they look like they're made of wax. And they all look perfect. They've been painted. And the perfect, the orange is a perfect circle. And the apples, you know, you couldn't, if you had a painter paint a picture, you know, Picasso couldn't paint a better looking orange or apple or corn, cob of corn or any of the vegetables that you see, and they look absolutely beautiful. But then when you open the orange, it's as dry as anything. There's no vitamin C in it. There's no flavor. Absolutely horrible. The apple has no taste. So here's what the question I'm asking you. If I go over by the organic fruits, they look, you know, kind of withered. Look like there's been things gnawing at them. And so you, if you just are going by what you see, you're going over here for the stuff that really looks good but has no nutrition. So what are we doing?
Well, you know what, Earl? I think let's look at our fruits and vegetables as a metaphor for our government. Our government on the outside looks good, but when you start to look at it, it's rotten on the inside.
I think
so,
you're...
You know, just think about the government when you look at that shiny apple and know it's a lie. Organic food doesn't have all the chemicals and stuff on it, and if a bird or an insect or a little bit of scab or whatever, that means it's not covered with chemicals. You're going to want to go to the ugly fruit, and there is kind of a movement. I think it's called the ugly fruit movement or something, where people are saying, hey, don't be going for that fake fruit over there because it's poison. Plus, I read about they check for vitamin C in oranges like now as compared to 20 years ago. And oranges have less vitamin C than other vegetables now because of the way they grow them. And of course, you know, this is because the corporate government manifesto has developed genetically modified fake food that's put through a process to make it look like this. I could call it the McDonaldization of our food system. Everything looks the same and it has that same whole thing. And then they've assembled the consumer desire to go after that thing, that look. But we all know that it's nothing. So it's just using critical thinking skills to think about what's in front of you. Also, looking where that fruit and vegetable came from, because when it comes from other countries like Chile and Uruguay and Panama or wherever, you have no idea what their agricultural practices are there at all. And there are pesticides and herbicides that are banned in the United States that are still used in other countries. And guess what? The United States still makes them and sends them over there. They put it on their fruits and vegetables and send it back over here. So we're still getting exposed to it.
You know, Julie, last time you and I talked, and as I said, it's been a while, and I apologize for that. I got to do a better job, and I will. I promise you.
Okay.
You had all of this food, edible food, that you couldn't give away. You couldn't sell in the markets because of what?
Because of the regulations. Like, I tried to get some of my food in the local food co-op here in Viroqua, and they're like, well, you're not certified organic, because I don't believe about dancing around about that. I don't think the organic label has a lot of validity anymore. And they're like, we can't bring yours in because it's going to be like near the other stuff that's certified, so we can't carry it. So what I do with my extra food now is I donate it to the food pantry, so people get it for free. Of course, that doesn't put any money in my pocketbook, but that's okay with me. So that's what I'm doing with my extra stuff.
Let's go to Chris from Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Chris. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
I'm just calling in. I had a friend reach out, and I know the show here is about a little bit about CAFOs.
It's about farming. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we're also organic farmers from Wisconsin. And sounds like Julie has had a little bit of a rough start. We happen to be certified organic, but it's definitely a challenging space out there. But, we are members of the Cornucopia Institute, based out of Wisconsin, and my mother happens to be on the board, and they advocate for authentic organic. So, we do favor maintaining the organic integrity of the USDA seal, as difficult as it may be. There's help out there. There's assistance for financial funding from the state if certification seems to be a little bit challenging. But it's definitely, I think, something to look into in order to get, like for Julie, to get her produce into the local food co-ops.
Hang on. Julie, you want to respond?
I've looked into that, and I've looked into being certified, but I also looked into the regulations, and I disagree with the regulations because they allow stuff in under the organic regulations that I don't allow on my farm. I know an organic garlic farmer who used feather meal from an industrial chicken operation as fertilizer on his organic garlic. And to me, that's not organic because the feathers of chickens in an industrial chicken barn are full of contaminants. So I don't believe in the organic standards. I'm aware of the Cornucopia Institute. I know the man that started it, Mark Castell. He's now with Organic Eyes. So now there's two organizations that are trying to keep an eye on the USDA. But now the USDA and the federal government has been captured by corporations because now they realize that organic food is a multi-billion dollar industry. And you better believe they're going to water it down just like they do everything else. And they're going to use that label to make profits. And they're not going to make sure that food is as pure as a small farm with a direct relationship between the farm and the consumer. I don't need someone in the middle telling me that I'm somebody and that I'm doing the right thing. I want the consumer to come to my farm. There's another organization called Certified Naturally Grown. I am pursuing that, and that is farmer to farmer, and it's affordable, and I believe that label more than I'm going to believe anything that's wrapped up in the federal government. I have no faith in the federal government. They're the one that brought us these large animal confinement operations and corn and soybeans from sea to shining sea. That was our federal and state government that did that. Why would I think the very agency that's destroyed rural America, rural farming America, was going to fix it now? That's psychotic. I mean, they're not going to do that. They're going to serve the huge interests more than anybody else. This is happening all over the world, too. We're not the only country suffering from globalization, because that's what this is. This is globalization in our country, the same thing that we exported to other countries where we destroyed the small family farms there and turned them into palm oil plantations, pineapple plantations, banana plantations. Welcome to the Banana Republic. It's right here in the United States, okay? That's what this is. I don't give a damn.
I'm
not supposed to say.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't care about the laws that are made on the state and federal level because we have corporate influence in our legislature. So they're going to make sure the big corporations make their money, and they're not really going to care about the very citizens that our Constitution is supposed to be protecting because of the corporate personhood and takeover of our governments.
Hey,
it's just the way it is.
Hey, Chris, thank you very much for the call. Hey, Julie, I want to switch up a little bit. Just the other day, there's up in Madison, there's been a debate about whether or not people could grow vegetables on their own property. What is that called? I forgot the term.
I wasn't aware. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Well, okay. So it's, and I had it up here. And so what I'll do is I'll find it and we'll talk about it after the break.
I do mean to make one comment. If it's somehow challenging people's rights to feed themselves, I saw this coming.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. The argument is that you shouldn't be able to grow these vegetables or those kind of things on your property because it certainly aesthetically is, you know, not pleasing to the eyes of people who drive by. So there are rules and regulations in place that they're dealing with right now that challenge you and your own right to your own property to grow what it is you want on your property.
All I can say is that's psychotic. That's nuts. I mean, why would the rights of someone driving by in a car trump someone on their own property feeding their own family? That's crazy.
Well, you know, we're at a point, I think, that so many people really don't understand, as you stated before, what is actually transpiring, what is actually going on in their areas and in their communities. And so we continue to face things that I think, you know, the importance of radio stations like this one and those civic media across the state have a responsibility to at least make sure that people are aware of those things. Go ahead.
So, you know, if people really want to know what could happen, they should look into the special period that happened in Cuba where the oil was cut off from Russia and people were starving and the average Cuban lost 20 pounds and everybody had to grow food in their yard. That could happen here. People need to keep their rights to grow their own food in their own spaces.
Yeah. Well, you know, we just got through hearing from a person who clearly people are listening to our conversation and maybe frustrated because they really don't know. They feel trapped and they feel like nobody's listening to them and they don't know where to turn. Where do they turn, Julie?
Right. Where do they turn? Well, the main thing is we all know that whatever culture you've lived in since the human beings started walking around and talking, you have more power in a group than you do by yourself. So organizing. I mean, we used to have laws on the books that people could own other people. There was laws on the books that women couldn't vote. There was laws on the books that were just absolutely insane and that all changed. And why? Because it was a mass movement. So this is a mass movement to take back our rights. They've been systematically removed and were removed for many people for many years. And then they got them back. And now they want to remove all of our rights.
All right.
You know, I hang around with a lot.
Hang on, Julie. We've got to take a short hiatus. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Well, I pray the Lord to keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small. I need you, Lord, to come and go. I need you, Lord.
The Shaw, WAUK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is Julie Delateri. She is the proprietor of Singing Trees Farm. So Julie, what do you want to say to, people who live like you in rural Wisconsin, who've seen changes, in your towns and in where you are, and what can be done to answer the questions or to change the realities of what you're faced with?
Well, what I would say to my neighbors around me or anybody who's having these conversations is have conversations with your neighbors and then have events like a farm-to-table meal or something and talk about the way our ancestors were on the land. And when I say ancestors, that doesn't mean one generation ago or three generations ago. Let's go all the way back to where we came from, the very beginning. We were all intricately embedded in our environment, and we got all of our sustenance from that environment. So this idea that the environment is not important is like very unwise, and I can't even fathom it, because I've always known that if I live in a healthy environment, I'm going to be healthy. And that's been systematically destroyed by the corporate state. But I do want to say something. We just talked about the organic industry, and I looked something up on break, and I'm going to read this. This is from the Food Revolution Network. It said, consider this fact. In 1995, 81 independent organic processing companies existed in the United States. Only 10 years later, Big Food had gobbled up all but 15 of them. So what does that mean? Okay, that means that big organic has now gobbled up small organic, and it's the same thing, different day.
Because it's owned by the very people who have created the problems.
Exactly. So if you go to the Food Revolution Network, there's a graphic there, and it shows all the big corporations that have bought up the small organic operations. It's all one thing.
Right.
So the best way you're going to have authentic food is go to a farmer's market, know your farmer, get together, get your food from nearby. That's not easy for a lot of people. They don't have that kind of time or that kind of commitment to be able to do it, but it has to be a revolution.
Hey, Julie.
This country.
Hang on, Julie. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Great topic. I'll make this quick because I know we're running out of time. I was wondering if your guest could address a couple of the issues. One of the seeds, when farmers used to save their seeds and the corporations got rid of that, has that been addressed? Also, if a farmer grew their own seeds on their own property, I say soybeans, and the farmer next door grew Monsanto or Bayer now, seeds, and they cross-pollinated, and Monsanto then could sue the other farmer because now it's their patented whatever in their plants and stuff like that. If you address that, it'd be great. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, there's that Canadian case of Percy Schmeiser who grew rapeseed, and Monsanto went after him, and he actually lost his farm. But I think the tides are shifting a little bit. I haven't been following that very closely. But Singing Trees, actually, we save all our own seed. We have a seed cleaner from the turn of the century. It's about 100 years old. We clean all our own seed. We save our own seed. We plant our own seed. We really don't worry about what's growing next to us at this point because we're going to save our seed regardless. And if all farmers started saving their own seed and developing their own seed, as long as it wasn't a registered GMO, but who'd want that anyway? Get their own seed developed, save it. Yes, they can save thousands of dollars every spring, and that's what we do. We no longer spend $7,000-$8,000 on seed when we could save it ourselves. But it used to be all the farmers would have their own seed cleaner, or a guy would come around with the seed cleaner, he'd clean it, they'd put in the granary, and they'd have seed for the next spring. But then the seed companies came around, they said, oh, if you don't have this GMO thing, and it's not just GMO, they stack it with all these traits. So there's 10 to 15 different traits. Okay, so this seed's going to do this, this is going to do this, and this is going to do that. So guess what? The farmer next to me, he grew that really fancy seed. He put all the chemicals on it. He did everything. It's a really pretty field, like that orange at the supermarket. But when it came to harvest, all his corn had fallen over and rotted in his field because he destroyed his soil. It was a drought, and the seed was not good at all because it wasn't kept in the region. The best seed is the seed you grow and keep from your region because plant genetics are plastic. They adjust to environmental conditions, and so you're best growing your own seed. So it's because farmers have decided they're going to fall for the technology. I mean, they're players in this too. They fall for the hype.
Hey, Julie, it won't be so long the next time. I really, really appreciate it as always.
Earl, yeah, come on. More than twice a year, hey.
I will. Keep up the good work, and I'll be in touch sooner than you think. Julie Della Torre from Singing Trees Farm will return shortly.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.